Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message today comes from our gospel reading from Matthew 28, specifically the last verse, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Welcome back. Did you realize that we've worshiped via live stream for 11 weeks? For most of that time, Sundays consisted of myself, Tara, and Dan sitting in the sanctuary. The last couple of weeks, Elsie came also, watching my phone to make sure that the live stream didn't cut out on us. It was fun. Easter Sunday, there were four times as many Easter lilies as there were people. I don't think that's ever happened before or will ever happen again. The Maundy Thursday and Good Friday services were just me alone in the sanctuary preaching to the phone. And I gotta say, becoming a televangelist was never my goal. I don't think it was any pastor's goal, really, who's had to learn how to do this on the fly in the last 3 months. Thank God we are back together once more today. And what better way to mark our first public worship service, in-person worship service, than on Trinity Sunday at Trinity Lutheran Church and reading the church's Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus' words are a reminder to us of who we are as a church, and they give us great comfort in the midst of the isolation that we have been living through for this last 3 months. And we have been living with a lot of isolation, especially lately, this social distancing from all of the coronavirus stuff. It's been 3 months of this. I know I've said that like 3 times already. I'll probably say it another dozen times. That is a long time to go without seeing people in person. Meetings taking place via Zoom, events being completely canceled, church services shifted entirely to online formats. Easter, I already mentioned. People have been terrified to leave their homes, and some still are. But even apart from those external factors, it's easy for us to feel isolated in other ways. I remember the day after my family left to return to New Jersey, after Amy's death, after everything had happened, we all went to the district retreat center for a week at between Christmas and New Year's. And the family was there right after she had died, within a couple of days. Sarah was with me for the rest of December. I hadn't been alone since I found her between then and New Year's Eve, and suddenly I was alone. The isolation on that drive home after we got done at the district retreat center was, for lack of a better, almost terrifying. I needed it, but it was a lot. Perhaps you felt similar. Perhaps you're feeling isolated because the kids have moved away and you're an empty nester. Maybe you're feeling isolated because of a divorce or, like my experience, a death. Perhaps you live far from home and you've been struggling with meeting people or making friends or making connections. But whatever the reason, you can feel crippled by isolation. When all of this first started, I heard a story out of Colorado. Did you know that the Air Force Academy had to ease all of its quarantine restrictions very early on because of a rash of suicides and depression among the cadets? While the mortality rate for COVID-19 wasn't high at all, the mortality rate for depression, suicide, loneliness, all of those factors this last however long it's been, were literally killers. Going back to our reading, Jesus' disciples, I'm sure, felt all of this isolation after Jesus' death. There they were when Jesus found them after the resurrection, hiding in an upper room for fear of the Jews. They were afraid. They were afraid for their lives. They thought that if it got out that people knew they were followers of Jesus, they would be lynched. So one of God's reasons for creating woman was so that we would not be isolated. He said in Genesis 2 that it is not good that man should be alone. Isolation is not good. We need other people. It's not enough to meet via Zoom or Facebook Live, not long term. God created man and woman to need each other, to complement each other. The command from God to be fruitful and multiply isn't exactly something you can do by yourself. This need for community is something that we have from God. This is what the Trinity means, that God is not alone, but three divine persons in a single divine essence. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all present, all active in the world, all together from the beginning. In Genesis, we read about the creation, that God is present, all three persons actively involved in creation. The Father is the one who creates by his word, as the Spirit is hovering over the face of the deep. Father, we look at Jesus. The Father sent his Son into the world where he was strengthened for his mission by his Spirit, whom the Father sends to him and sends to us as well. We need other people. We need community, and God promises to be with us eternally, even if it is not something that we truly see or recognize. I don't know about anyone else, but I have managed to be present with people in various ways through this period, whether it be Zoom and having meals over Zoom with my family, whether it be games on Zoom or Google Meetings, telephone. I made I don't know how many calls to members to check up on them during this time. My brother and I actually got back into our habit of having weekly phone calls during the last several weeks. All of these are examples of being present with other people, but it's not a physical presence. It's more spiritual. And that is, in many ways, how God primarily is present with us today, spiritually, not so much physically. In his word, we read that he is with us. He promises to be with us in our gospel reading today. We see that he says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever." We see God present with his people, and yet we don't see him. We see God at work behind the scenes, arranging events of history all through the Bible. That's one of the messages we read in Esther, that God is present spiritually even when he appears to be absent. Even though God doesn't explicitly appear there, he is still arranging things and causing events to happen the way they should. And this spiritual presence is what Jesus promises at the very end of Matthew in our reading for today: "I am with you always to the end of the age." So even when we do not feel God close to us, he is still present with us through the Holy Spirit. You received the Holy Spirit in your baptism, and he is always with you. When we're feeling isolated, this reassurance of his spiritual presence may be all we have. And yet he promises that he is with us. Now, of course, the spiritual presence sometimes just isn't enough. Sometimes we do need for people to be physically present with us. And that, I think, is what has been really missing the last few months, this physically being with people. Physical presence is an absolute necessity for human beings. Babies who receive all of their physical needs but are never touched or held or handled will die because they need physical touch. Now, we will eventually return to this being physically present with people, and we are getting there. We're able to gather with people once more as we're here today. We will eventually start to shake hands with people more and the like without being afraid of getting sick. Life certainly won't look the same after all of this is done as it did before, but we will have that physically being present with one another once more. One thing that has not changed and will not change is God's presence with us, God's physical presence with us. He promises that he is with us always, and he is in Holy Communion. When Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood," that means he is truly physically present with us right here, right now. This ability to gather together around word and sacrament is, I think, the one thing I've missed the most from the last 3 months. Easter didn't feel like Easter without a big service with tons of hymns and celebrating communion together as a church. And so we are going to change things up for a while. After so long without, we're going to have communion every time we gather to celebrate being able to gather together in communion with one another again. God's presence never left us. He has been with us through this entire ordeal, and we will take the opportunity to celebrate that as often as we can. No one's ever required to take communion, but the opportunity is going to be there. How exciting it is for us. We have the opportunity to worship together again. We have the opportunity to gather together before our God in person again. He was with us through this wild time, and he will be with us through whatever comes next. Christ is with us always, and he gives us himself to seal the deal. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.